Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about the books we'd like to recommend.
And Jamie is bringing just one book this time.
But it's okay, because it seems very respectful. It is Margaret Atwood, so.
Yeah, I was feeling like a little bit of an underachiever just bringing one book, but yeah.
I think reading Margaret Atwood
deserves it.
Yeah, and reading her in general is not underachiever at all.
Yeah. So what book did you bring us today?
I brought The Testaments by Margaret Atwood, which is a sequel to The Handmaid's Tale.
Okay, and if I've done my research, it's different from the show. Like, it goes in a different direction.
So, like, a few things. The book, oddly, it's a sequel, and it was written 34 years after the original, but takes place 15 years after where the last one left off in Gilead. So it has gotten confused with the TV show. Is that what you asked about?
Yeah.
The TV show is really true to the spirit of the book. There's, like, a few differences, like, in fact. And I have watched the TV show. I'm all caught up. So this kind of takes up where it left off-ish, but 15 years later, and there are some differences. I can't be a purist and, like, pick them apart, but I think that this book coming out will affect where they go with the plot of the TV show.
Okay.
I believe.
Does it pick up with a Fred at all, or?
No. Well, okay, so that's a great question. She is, interestingly enough, absent from most of this book. Like, she's referred to, and you know she's out there, but she's not a main voice or a character, which really took me by surprise when I was reading it. I thought maybe they changed the names because all of the names don't align. But I figured out she's definitely referred to. You don't know what happened to her. If you're caught up with the TV show, you know the end. You don't know if she's going to live or die. Of course, she's not going to die.
Right.
Yeah, but this book does not answer that question right away.
Okay. And I remember when you were talking to me about this, like, off the air, you were talking about how it felt a little bit like a YA novel.
It does, because, and I'm saying because I'm no expert on YA literature, but the two main characters of this book are teenagers. Oh. They're both daughters of Fred. What was her name on the TV show for real? June.
Oh, yeah. June.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you have to say, say my name. So they're both June's daughters. One is her first daughter that, if you remember, was taken from her when the big raid happened in Gilead. And she spends a lot of time in the TV show. And I'm, in all fairness, I'm talking about the TV show because I don't remember reading Handmaid's Tale.
The original was a long time ago.
So the first daughter that they follow is Agnes, who was really Hannah in the TV show. So she's there. And then the second daughter, which in the TV show is baby Nicole, who got smuggled to Canada, appears in this novel as well. She's the second voice. And her name is not Nicole, because that would be crazy. Her name is Daisy.
Oh, okay.
So Daisy and Agnes are the two main characters, both born with different names, and they're teenagers, so it does seem a lot like a YA novel at first. The voice that changes that, the other main narrator, is Aunt Lydia, which is...
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
The same?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
The very same Aunt Lydia. She narrates portions of this book, and those are my favorite parts. You get the backstory of Aunt Lydia, which is different than the TV show. I remember the episode in the TV show showed her maybe as a school teacher or a principal. In the book, she is a judge. And it starts, her narration in this book starts the day they came for the judges. And it tells how she became an aunt. And it's just, I'm not going to give too much away, but that's the best part, is following the story of Aunt Lydia.
So where is the book set?
Gilead and Canada.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
And just FYI, Margaret Atwood is Canadian, by the way, which is sort of interesting. When we're following Daisy, Daisy lives in Canada, because remember, she was baby Nicole and she was swept away and she was rehomed. So she's living in Canada. And then Agnes, of course, is in Gilead with Aunt Lydia. Well, not with Aunt Lydia, but...
But yes.
So Canada and Gilead.
I've always felt like The Handmaid's Tale was kind of Margaret Atwood's version of, like, peering through your neighbor's window and just being like, ooh, those people.
So I read a little bit about Margaret Atwood and how this book kind of came to be, how Handmaid's Tale kind of came to be. And I did not realize, originally when she was writing in the late 70s, early 80s, she actually wrote an essay about how writers should not be political, that should not come into their art. And then she was in Washington State when Mount St. Helens went off. She was, like, at a poetry convention, and they had to hightail it out of there. So she took an 11-hour car ride with a poet who had spent a lot of time in El Salvador watching all these atrocities, and they got to talking about that, and that really made an impression on Atwood. And when she wrote The Handmaid's Tale, you know, that first they put it in science fiction, mm-hmm. and she was like, no, right? Because science fiction kind of implies that it's really far from reality.
Yeah.
And Handmaid's Tale itself was based on real happenings that she clipped from El Salvador and Romania, where they had cracked down on contraception, children being kidnapped by the Welfare League. Like, she had a whole box, a trunk, full of stories that she mm-hmm. kind of pieced together. So even though it wasn't a consistent reality, all the things that happened in The Handmaid's Tale were based in some news story. So
wow.
she kind of did a 180 on politicized art. And, you know, that's kind of what she's known for now, particularly
yeah.
when The Handmaid's Tale was made into the television series mm-hmm. and our state of the world today. You know, people have drawn a lot of parallels, so.
Do you think that she continues with some of those parallels in this newest book? Were there any that really stood out to you?
You know, it's all, this book kind of gives you a little bit more, maybe it's because it's a book and not a TV show, a little bit more the behind the scenes and the how this happened.
Okay.
And certainly, like, political corruption. Like, you start to see that in the TV show, that there is no pure political state.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Gilead is super corrupt.
Yeah.
And again, from the perspective of Aunt Lydia, like, you really figure out what makes her tick, and it is fantastic.
Did you hear anything about why that she decided to write another sequel so far after the first book? Because I see you have an article. I don't know if the article mentions it.
I have read this article, yeah. And then, again, it's 35
yeah,
years
later. Yeah,
that's the
confusing part.
I did kind of, you know, I didn't read this in the article, but I sort of feel like with the TV show,
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of pressure to return that and then for her to control her ending.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, if the TV show went on without there being a sequel
mm-hmm.
to Handmaid's Tale in writing, the ending would have been made up by,
yeah.
you know, Hollywood or, you know,
mm-hmm.
television producers. So I think she wanted hers kind of on the record.
Okay.
That's respectable.
Yeah. And she's 80. So, I mean, and I love Margaret Atwood, she's still touring. If she was going to do it, I think now is the time.
So what kind of reader would you recommend the book to?
Any female? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. No, this book is interesting. It's not, the book, the series, the concept is not really, you know, man versus woman, that women are good and men are bad. Clearly evidenced by the fact that the ants are really holding the women down. They're the oppressors just as much. Anybody who likes dystopian stuff, anybody who's into the TV series has to read this. Again, I didn't love the writing, except for when she was writing Aunt Lydia.
Mm-hmm.
Her writing is very different when she's writing the girls versus when she's writing Aunt Lydia. But I feel good, like, having read the book and being stressed out over the TV show when it ended. Now I, like, even if that doesn't happen on the TV show, in my mind, this has a ribbon tied around it, so.
And was it more hopeful than the original? Because the original was a little bit hopeful, but kind of just like,
Yeah, I think it is hopeful because there's the idea, and I think this comes in the TV show too, that Gilead, because of its corruption, has maybe seen, you know, lived its life and had
yeah.
its time, that maybe Gilead will fall. And when you finish this book, you feel like that could be certainly the direction. In fact, this book has an epilogue that goes even farther into the future.
Okay.
That's kind of, they're studying Gilead from an anthropologic standpoint. So that kind of was the super big bow tied
mm-hmm.
on it. But it wraps up some of those plot lines that if you're a fan, you're like, you know, what's going to happen? Are they ever going to get back
mm-hmm.
together? Are they going to find each other? That does get wrapped up in this book.
That's good, because I feel like that could be maybe a block to interested readers, just remembering the emotional
yeah,
turmoil
just
of
like
reading.
It's another huge downer. Yeah,
no,
reading
The
Handmaid's
Tale. I'm not the hugest, you know, empathetic reader while I'm reading, but this one did not stress me out.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it really didn't. I knew it was going to conclude.
Yeah, because the show stresses me out sometimes. Like, I can only take it in blocks.
Yes.
Yeah, the show is not one that most people can binge watch a lot of episodes at once. I had to do one episode a week was my max, because
yeah.
it didn't leave you feeling good.
Great.
You felt
yeah.
dirty and hopeless. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so is there anything else that you'd like to add on about the book?
No.
Okay.
You should read it. Yeah, you should read it.
So I guess dystopian music?
Sure, I'll do my best.
And we'll get ahead into our game show portion. So we can go ahead and ask some questions.
What was one of the bigger changes that you noticed between the ending of Handmaid's Tale and the setting of this book?
Handmaid's Tale, the TV show, because remember I didn't read the book. Yeah, mm-hmm. And the setting. What were one of the biggest differences? No, you felt like you were right there.
Did it feel like things had even moved on very much? Or was it moving super slowly?
So if I remember correctly, this book starts in Canada. So you see where Canada is. And I think that's, you know, the geography was really sort of interesting to me. I've never figured out what state The Handmaid's Tale is supposedly in.
I know.
You know, like not too close to the Canadian border, but not too far away. And in here there's, you know, they travel between the two, and it seems like it takes forever, like it's an odyssey, but they make it across the border. The other, because I didn't read the book and I did watch the TV show, the other thing in this novel that I didn't expect were the characters of the Pearl Girls, who are from Gilead, and they're like missionaries that cross into Canada to leave their literature and try to recruit other people.
Who would sign up for that? Are they successful at all?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, you say who would sign up for that, but, you know, cults do exist.
I don't remember that from the TV show at all. Yeah. I don't remember it from the book, but...
It's not in the book at all. I think it's very much no one leaves.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
These Pearl Girls cross freely across the border. It kind of didn't make a lot of sense to me, but yeah, and that's how some things get smuggled in and out, just so you know. But yeah, that was an interesting add, I think, with the Pearl Girls.
It is interesting because it gives us this feel. I feel like it's more realistic that there is some sort of traffic between the border.
Or ambassadors or something.
Yeah.
Kind of.
As opposed to literally like a no man's land. No one comes in, no one goes out. It's just a state by itself.
Yeah.
I feel like in a lot of dystopian novels, because it's very tragic, there aren't many animals in most dystopian novels, I've noticed.
That is a super interesting observation. I have never even thought about that. Yeah, I can't think of any animals.
Yeah, I think it's because it makes life seem too normal to have, like, animals mentioned. It feels a little too everyday, whereas this part of the sadness is this, like, stark life. So saying, like, oh, the puppy runs down the street.
I think if there were an animal in a dystopian novel, it would have a bad fate. And
yes.
You would know that the whole time. Yeah,
yes.
So no. I don't remember any pets. Or strays at all.
It's probably just as well. I'll do the easy one. What kind of food would you put with this book?
If I remember correctly, I listened to this book while I was cooking. That's what I tend to do on the weekends. So I would baking. It's a good book to... Books to bake to. Like, you would want your house to smell really wholesome and lived in and normal when you're reading about stuff like this.
Make it less bleak.
Yeah,
yes.
You want a sense of domestic bliss. So, you know, light some good candles, bake some cookies, and know that everything will be okay.
Is this a book that took you a while to get through, but once you started the audiobook, you were in it?
Yeah, I was in it. I zipped through it. It's very plot-driven.
Yeah.
I mean, this book definitely has the big question, will the daughters reunite with the mother? That's
mm-hmm.
like the driving force. And then what will happen to Aunt Lydia?
Mm-hmm.
And is she good or is she evil? So, and of course, she's both. It has a lot of momentum in the plot, so
mm-hmm.
it's not one that I... could put down.
Okay.
So this is that time of year. Would this book make a good gift?
Yes. Probably not like from a husband to a wife or a boyfriend to a girlfriend.
Maybe the second book would be good.
Yeah.
Just not the first one.
It may be something good to give to like a girlfriend, you know, a friend, an aunt. The hard to buy for aunt.
just hopefully her
let
name isn't Lydia.
Yeah. Let them know that you don't think she's an aunt with a capital A.
That's hysterical. That would be what you would write in the card. Yes.
Yeah.
We have solved all your Christmas shopping dilemmas.
Well, thank you so much for joining us with another fantastic book. And stay tuned next week for more book recommendations.
Bye.